Chick-fil-A was voted worst drive-through in the country, which I thought was interesting because every Chick-fil-A I've ever gone to is like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, they seem very efficient when I go, and they're super nice. They're so nice that sometimes when I'm in the line, even though whenever I pull into a drive-through, I'm usually, you know, always hangry at that point anyways.
Yes.
90% certain. I'll be like, but they're so nice, mm-hmm. and clearly they're doing their best.
How do you decipher the difference between a great drive-through yeah. and one that is not so great?
Well, I mean, if they're friendly, that certainly helps, right? If the window is easily accessible, they're taking all your information. Most of the time, they've got people standing in the drive-through line that I see at Chick-fil-A now.
Yeah, I see. I disagree. I don't think you need to be nice to me when you work at the drive-through. I think you need to be like cordial because you got to like, you know, we're civilized human beings and that's how it is. But I don't need you to ask me how's my day going or anything like that. Number one thing I need when I pull into a drive-through is I need your intercom to work. There is nothing worse than one, I can't understand what you're saying. It's like, take your water, you know?
Sure.
That's terrible. And the other one is when nobody says anything for an extended period of time, because then I'm the weirdo that's like, hello?
Yeah.
Hi. Because I don't even know. Can they see me? Is there like a sensor that goes off that notifies them I'm here? I don't know.
Yeah, there's definitely a sensor. There's something that beeps. But yeah, sometimes they're just ignoring you or they're super busy, which always makes me worried too. I want a little enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. I do want them to be nice. I want them to sound like they're excited to take my order and excited to deliver me whatever food it is that they have in that wonderful building of theirs. Because when they sound upset, when they sound depressed, I automatically feel like I know what my food's going to look like when it comes out. I mean, that might be wrong, but that's just how I feel.
You know how you know you're at a good drive-thru?
Mm.
When you pull up and there's two windows after you place your order. That is quality. Like the second window is where you pay, and then the third window is where you pick up your food. Have you ever been to one of those classy drive-thrus?
Wait a minute. You said two, but now you're talking like three.
Well, no, there's three. There's where you place your order at the intercom.
Okay.
Then the second window is where you pay.
Yeah.
Right? And then the third window is where you get your food. Now, that is taking it to the next level.
I mean, that's McDonald's. I don't know. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
but not all
McDonald's have that. Some of them only have where you pay and you pick up your order at the same time. Not all drive-thrus are created equal, Raven.
You really want to fix the drive-thru? I need an ejection pad or button for that when people pull up and they go, yeah, I just need a minute, when they've already been sitting in the drive-through line mm-hmm. for like, I don't know, 6-7 minutes. They've had everybody in the car, but of course they were on their phone or dancing around to the radio or whatever it was that they were doing in there. Just get your order straight, all right? And yep. If not, get out and go inside.
And most importantly for me is I need you to be really, really kind and giving with the amount of packets you're going to give me of ketchup and barbecue sauce and honey mustard, because there's nothing worse than ordering a 20-piece of nuggies and then they give you one thing of barbecue sauce. What am I supposed to do with this?
I never pull away without asking for extra.
I need like six more things. Like I drink them. I take them like shots.
Goose Baba.
It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Wellness Wednesday is all about small things you can do to make a big difference in your life. And today, it sounds so incredibly simple, and I keep reading all these articles about it. So I was like, oh, I mean, I'm a big girl. I could do this. I've probably done it a million times. Until I actually tried.
Mm.
And for some reason, it was terrifying. Here's the guy on the internet that is going to explain to you exactly what it is.
There are many benefits of walking backwards.
Wait a minute, what?
It's walking backwards. I know it sounds insane.
I mean, it does. Okay.
Right. Yep. Right. But what are all the benefits of just walking backwards? Right. Get ready for it. There's a lot of them.
Walking backwards sharpens the senses and mental clarity, improves coordination, strengthens less used leg muscles, decreases lower back pain, puts less strain on the knees, speeds up the body's metabolism,
yes.
and therefore increasing energy level and improving your sleep.
I told you there's so many benefits.
All right, man. I mean, a couple of these things make a little bit of sense. All right. You know, your situational awareness. Okay. You know, keeps your brain, you know, exercise because you have to concentrate on not walking into something. So
yeah.
That kind of stuff I could sign off on. I would say that the benefit is minimal, but I could sign off on that. The leg muscles. Okay.
It's a big thing. The small muscle groups.
I know, but what would... Whatever he said at the end sounded like total BS there at
it
the end.
It speeds up your metabolism.
What, how's that work?
Makes you fly?
You can't fly if you
walk backwards?
Makes no sense whatsoever.
All right, so how do you do this very special, important thing?
make sure that you have an area that is clear of all hazards. Be aware of cracks, ridges in sidewalks, yeah. curbs, roots, debris.
Rooftop edges, right. Anything like that.
Gotta be real careful.
Be careful of all those things. Where's the coordination come in then? If you've cleared the area of all debris and any of the other problems. Oh my God.
You know, it sounds so ridiculous and simple until you actually do it. So now where should you do it and find the perfect place?
So try a field of any type at your park. You don't need a long distance. You can practice up to 50 meters at a time.
All right.
Wait a minute, 150 feet? I mean, you don't need a long distance. That's a good amount of distance.
Right, but unfortunately, here in the studio, we don't have that much.
Yeah,
but
we have like 8 feet.
So last night, I was like, oh, all right, let me do this. Because I remember, like, back in the day when I had a trainer, like, she would make me walk backwards on the treadmill all the time.
Yeah. Was her name Michael Jackson?
No.
No? Okay.
No, her name was Kate. But I remember it being harder than I thought, and I remember holding on to the sides. Mm-hmm. So I stood up yesterday, and I'm like, walk backwards, Anna. Go ahead. And you have to keep your head straight. You can't turn because we're so used to like forward facing and seeing where we're going.
I mean, that's you.
Okay.
I feel like I could turn my head.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I had to do this in physical therapy too. Hold on, Matt.
I'm not that far in my physical therapy, which is probably why I almost fell on my face yesterday.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Want me to walk around the room?
No. So, yeah, take off your headphones so you don't, like, you know, you're attached to the board.
Yeah. I can do it.
Okay. And now go ahead and walk from one end to the
other. Where do you want me to go? All the way around?
Yeah, all the way around.
Okay,
don't turn your head. He's walking like a robot.
I mean, I'm killing it. I'm crushing it. I'm literally crushing it.
He's actually very good at walking backwards.
I'm fantastically good at this.
I mean, he's walking backwards at an efficient speed. Right. But it's funny.
You want me to go backwards?
Yeah, go backwards.
Right, here we go.
You are flat-footed, and it does look you are flat-footed. You're flat-footed.
You're making up things to be upset about now with my backwards walking.
No, it's true. Raven is really good at walking backwards. I'm a little bit disappointed. I thought he would fall flat on his face. He did not.
Wow, look, I'm skinny already.
Look at you.
That's all I need to know about 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 you.
It's like group therapy. What's that thing that's driving you crazy? You can call 1-800-330-9999. Gets it right off your chest. The only thing you have to do is fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. Julie, go ahead.
If you're one of those people who reads the end of the book because you have to find out what happens, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, you mean they skip to the end of the book?
Yes.
Oh, these are terrible people. I know somebody like this.
Yeah, skimming all the way ahead just to glance and see. Like, no.
I know somebody that when The Bachelor starts their season, they go on social media and figure out whether or not the people are together. Confess.
It ruins it.
Confess, Anna Zapp. Confess.
I don't like surprises. And I like to know everything that is happening before. And it gives me it's a better thought process for me when I know the ending already.
That makes zero sense.
I like no surprises at the end of movies. I want to know what's going to happen so I can follow along and understand. I read the end of the book because I want to know what's going to happen. I look to see The Bachelor, if they're still together, who they end up with. Mostly just to upset Raven and I just tell them spoilers. I don't know. To me, it doesn't bother me. I like it better that way. I'm not a
no way to live.
Right, she's sick.
No, sick. Gabriella, that's all I need to know about you.
If you judge someone by their piercings, that's all I need to know about you.
I actually went to a place in my salon the other day, and they've got a new girl there. Wonderful. Very, very, very nice person. Pleasant person.
When Raven starts giving a disclosure.
But she just had they were everywhere. I didn't know really where to look. Because they were kind of everywhere. I just had kind of this thought in my head that was like, why? Why so many? You know what I mean? Why all that? But I couldn't ask, obviously, and I couldn't say anything because then I would immediately be that person who sounds 1,000 years old and makes somebody else feel bad about themselves.
The cheek piercings are kind of like the new hot trend.
Nah.
And whenever I see those and I see people that have those, I just wonder when you're chewing.
Yeah.
Doesn't it get in the way? Like, don't you accidentally almost eat the inside? And I always want to say, can I look in your mouth?
Yeah.
I want to see it. But then it seems like such a thing you shouldn't ask a stranger. Like,
no.
Hey, can I look in your mouth real quick? I just want to see what it looks like. Why didn't I ever just Google it? Hold on.
Yeah, that would probably be the best way to get that answer.
Right, yeah. What does an...
I think it's flat on the inside. I don't think it's going to be a bar on the inside, too.
Oh, really? I picture it like the back of my earring. Oh, I see. Yeah, no, I still don't know how you don't get that to go in your food.
Well, we won't do your piercings on your cheeks anytime soon.
I guess not.
Hey, Martin, that's all I need to know about you.
If you're one of those guys that gets tattoos in private places, that's all I need to know about you.
Wait a minute. Clarify for me here. Are we talking about, like, you got a tattoo over in your best friend's kitchen because he's got some buddy that came into town and he's, like, doing cheap tattoos for everybody? Or you mean, like, you got a tattoo under your underwear?
I think you know what he means.
No, like, on your private parts.
Oh. I had a dude that, like, he got one of my buddies. Well, he had a tattoo on that. But he also had a tattoo on the inside of his lip. And for some reason, the thought of the tattoo inside the lip bothers me just as much.
A lot of people did that on the bottom of the lip where they would pull it out and it would read something.
Yes, and it's always some crude message.
Right.
It's always something terrible.
Yeah.
Like, what is the motivation on that?
I never understood people that got tattoos on their backside. Who sees that? Like, are you mooning people? Is it 1975? We're still mooning people? Like, who sees that?
Well, you have to. I mean, at that point, you're obligated to moon the rest of your life.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah. Like, is that Betty Boop on your behind? Wow.
Well, you're never going to know unless I give you the full moon.
Yeah. Do you ever wonder, why am I the way I am? Oh, my gosh. I had one of those feelings before. When did I become so antisocial? I don't know. Have you ever done anything to avoid someone? I have become, and I'm embarrassed to admit it, but yeah. Finally, when it just happened, I was like, I got to talk about this. A shoe expert. And do you know why I'm a shoe expert, Raven?
I have no idea.
So I could avoid people in the bathroom.
Wait a minute. So you're a shoe expert at identifying them, or
yes.
What? When you see somebody looking at you, you take off your shoe and examine it?
No.
I mean, what do you do?
So we have a community bathroom at work where it's got, like, I don't know, 8-9 stalls, whatever it has.
Yeah, it's pretty large.
Yeah, we all share the same bathroom. Women and men. Okay. So I've realized...
That's how bathrooms work. Yep.
Yeah. So... You know, like, when you go in the bathroom and then the people want to talk to you for extended periods of time?
Yeah, I'm not a bathroom talker,
no.
But we have some of those here in the building. That's
yes,
definitely true.
There's a lot of them. And what I've done is I've started memorizing everybody's shoes so that if I'm in a stall and I see somebody's shoes come in,
yeah,
I purposely stay in my stall and don't say a word so I could avoid talking to them.
Because some of these shoe owners, they're more engaging than others. Is that it?
It's like, I just can't get stuck in the bathroom for a half hour.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I got to hurry up because I have to go back on the air in, like, you know, 47 seconds.
Right, right.
And I figured, I'm like, what kind of weirdo am I that I know everybody's shoes so that if I look over two stalls and I see those shoes, I am dead silent and I'm not leaving that stall until it's time, until they walk out.
I mean, you got to believe that they know your shoes too, right? So it's something very off-putting. I walked into the bathroom yesterday and a guy in the building that I talk with every time I see him, he wanted to start a conversation when I first walked in the bathroom and I was like, hey, man, I kind of need a moment. He's like, no, that's fine. Don't let me bother you. But he's still going to be in there.
I know.
So he's going to be talking to me. And I'm like, no, I can't do that. I had to go to the second floor.
Yeah, everybody has tactics to avoid people. If it's memorizing shoes or what is it that you do when you want to avoid somebody in public? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, Lydia.
Oh, I stare at my phone. I stare so hard, so intensely, no matter where I am. On the line at the grocery store, in the elevator, if I don't want to wait for someone else. And I have a privacy screen on my phone, so no one can really tell what I'm looking at.
I think people just assume that everyone's looking at their phones because everybody's looking at their phone. So that's kind of brilliant because no one thinks that you're doing it just to avoid them. They're thinking that you're just consumed with whatever you're reading at that point.
Yeah, I mean, we think you're rude, but we all are the same kind of rude.
Yeah.
Right?
I could just be looking at what's in sale on Bloomingdale's.com right now. And meanwhile, you think that I'm reading an important email from my boss and I'm getting to a meeting.
I was at a big function this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there was hundreds of people there, if not thousands. But, you know, in the crowd at one point, I saw a group of people that I haven't seen in a very long time. And, to be honest with you, for whatever, I didn't feel like talking to them. I didn't feel like doing that. I didn't feel like doing the catch-up thing or whatever. I just kind of knew what the basis of that conversation was going to be. So you know what I did? I did the simplest thing whatsoever. I just turned completely around. And then I did not move. Like you, with the shoe thing in the bathroom, I just stayed silent. Because I knew that if they heard me speak, obviously they would recognize me. So I just stared straight ahead,
yeah,
directly the opposite direction from them. and listened as they walked by.
What a weirdo creep. What,
I know.
I should even put you down because I'm not any better.
Yeah, no, they found me later anyways.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they ran into my wife.
Oh. It's not nice, but let's be honest. Sometimes everybody does it. What do you do to avoid people? 1-800-330-9999. Great news. We're not the only jerks that do it. Everybody does it, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. Some people just do it more often than others, and some people definitely do it with a better skill set than others.
It's true. So I've gotten into the habit, and we have a community bathroom here, and I have memorized everybody at work's shoes. And I'll know if somebody's shoes come in that I don't want to engage in conversation, and I hide in my stall like a total weirdo.
Yeah.
I just stay there, and I'm dead silent because I know that if I go out, it's going to be a long conversation, and I'm going to, you know, and I just want to go to the bathroom, you know?
I was at a big event this past weekend and saw a group of people that I didn't feel like talking to at that point. So I did the opposite. I did what's called a phasmid. That's when like a creature, an insect, looks like something else and then just freezes and you don't know it's there. So you ever see like one of those bugs that looks like a stick? Mm-hmm. That's what I did. I just turned around, didn't move, didn't breathe, and didn't speak, and they walked right by me. It's like I was camouflaged. I was invisible.
1-800-330-9999. Emma, what do you do to avoid people?
I fully just will stare at the ground and pretend I don't see them, or I will turn around and walk away, and I'm pretty sure they'll see me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I will fully pretend I don't see them.
It's a real smart move because I've done this a couple times too, because if you just act normal, like you don't see them and you keep looking ahead, then all of a sudden they become the jerks because they didn't come say hello to you. And it looks like you just didn't realize them.
John, what's your go-to move to avoid talking to people?
All right. I picked a phone in my ear, but I did this once a couple weeks ago. And the phone rang.
Oh my gosh! Caught out.
No, then. So what you gotta do is you gotta act like your phone is malfunctioning. You gotta be like, you gotta like shake it, look at it, be like, can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Like that's what you gotta do.
I didn't know what to do. Yeah.
Well, you won't make that mistake again. Now you'll be ready for that next time.
Yeah. I will.
Will, what do you do to avoid people?
Oh, I just gotta leave my headphones in all the time. So if I'm, like, at the gym, I won't even be, like, listening to music. I just keep my headphones in and then pretend I can't hear people if they try to get my attention.
Smart.
This is a great radio move.
Yeah. I mean, I have my headphones on in the studio all the time.
All the time.
Just to avoid Raven.
It's not always for me, but sometimes it is. Straight up. Yeah. I'll wear my headphones the entire time on the plane. There's no movie playing. There's no nothing going on. I have the headphones the entire time.
Yeah,
headphones is good. And in radio, we can do it in more places than others. But you know what? You're right. At the gym and all that, take advantage, man.
Oh, yeah.
Stephanie, what do you do to avoid people?
I mean, doesn't everyone just wear sunglasses to avoid people? You don't have to make eye contact. That's so easy.
Yeah, but when you're inside?
When I feel like somebody can't see my eyes, I feel like she's right. Like it's an invisibility cloak. They can't tell that I'm looking at them. By the way, of course I'm looking at you. Of course I'm scanning the area and I know that you're doing it. If you ever catch me wearing sunglasses inside, don't worry. I'm not a clown. I'm actually just trying to avoid you.
We had somebody in the studio not too long ago and they kept their sunglasses on the entire time.
Yes.
And it was a little bit weird.
Yeah, right? You're either on the devil's cabbage or you're just trying not to look at me or not let me know that you're looking at me.
Or I always think like either that or you had cataract surgery and like you have to wear sunglasses inside to protect yourself.
An actual medical reason you think that that's the case?
I mean, that's the only three reasons. Or you're up to no good if you're wearing sunglasses
inside. You're up to no good. I love it. You're a deviant. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the call, deviant.
Yep.
Stephanie's such a deviant.
Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. Angela Lansbury's trending.
Pour some out for my homegirl.
She died in her sleep early yesterday morning. She was less than a week away from her 97th birthday. 5 Tony Awards, nominated for 3 Oscars and 18 Emmys. She's probably most famous for this.
On the phone in your room, you asked me to pour you a glass of water. You took it from me, being very careful not to disturb my fingerprints. Then you left a fake message from De Kooning to me, asking me to meet him there. Only you met him first.
Murder, man, that, she wrote.
That took me back right there. I mean, instantly just hearing the way, the cadence and the canon of how it is that she would deliver, you know, her judgment at the end of the show. I mean, I used to watch that with my grandmother. I loved watching that show with my grandmother.
Yeah. Well, speaking of with your grandmother, I remember watching this with my grandmother, and this is how Angela Lansbury will always be remembered to me.
Tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme. The Beast.
Angela Lansbury, Mrs. Potts on Beauty and the Beast.
What a life, huh? Oh. 96 years, amazing, just just an incredible woman, no question about it. What were the shows that you watched with your grandmother?
Well, I was thinking about it. My grandparents, they're Italian immigrants, right. So they came from Italy. So we never they watched whatever we wanted to watch. So we
whatever
never,
was on television.
Whatever was on TV.
Thank God it wasn't the infomercial age.
Well,
your poor grandparents would have been so punished.
So we never watched Murder, She Wrote or anything like that. But I remember that I would watch the Disney movies all the time, and like my grandmother would sit by my side and watch it. And it's almost like Angela Lansbury is a grandmother. You know, she always was.
No question. Right. She was the cool grandma.
Yeah.
That was kind of like why grandmothers would be like, let's watch this together. So they'd like, you know, the teens and the grandkids or whatever would still think they were cool. I used to watch Murder, She Wrote, Quantum Leap, which is back now, with Scott, whatever his name is, Bakula or whatever. That guy hasn't aged, by the way. He's still on CSI. And when my grandmother was like really feeling it, she would stay up late and watch the A-Team. She had a thing for Hannibal. She liked that colonel guy.
All right.
Oh, yeah. That white-haired dude with the cigar. She dug that.
Yeah. I don't know. There's some people, like, just like, whenever we talk about the Golden Girls, I think about my grandmother. Whenever talk about Angela Lansbury, I think about my grandmother.
Yeah.
She's just one of those people that's what'll stick with you.
Well, thanks for the memories there, Angela. Yep.
I don't care what Raven says. The real Dahmer is creepier than the Netflix Dahmer. Listen to this. This is a real interview that Jeffrey Dahmer gave.
When you depersonalize another person and view them as just an object for pleasure instead of a living, breathing human being, it seems to make it easier to do things you shouldn't do.
I mean, he is creepy.
Have you watched the show?
I can't watch it. I'm too scared.
Then you don't know what you're talking about. Watch the show.
But I watched the trailer. The trailer was like,
creepy enough for you. Now you know you can't watch the show.
Well, imagine my surprise when earlier today I'm looking up, like, hottest Halloween trends for the year. And I see that Jeffrey Dahmer is like at the top of the list. And I go, why?
Figures.
But why?
I mean, fantastic performances, very gripping show. It's going to be a popular costume. Plus, you know, it's a period thing. So it's from the 70s and the 80s, right? So it has a certain look, a certain feel. You know, there's always somebody, if you go to a Halloween party, there's always somebody dressed as a funk star or anything like that, right? Because it's just such a trendy time.
Mm.
Huge lapels, all that. Not for nothing. Dahmer had style as compared to some of these other psychopaths that were out there. I know that sounds terrible.
It does.
But he did. There was a certain kind of style to this guy. It was L.A. It was that time period. It's going to be all over the place. I'll tell you what's distasteful. If you're going as Jeffrey Dahmer's date, that's a costume.
Ooh, yeah.
That, to me, that should be off limits. If you want to be Jeffrey Dahmer's date, yes, that's off limits.
Yeah, There's always some costumes because there's always going to be some people that cross the line.
Mm-hmm,
and what do you think are the costumes that cross the line? Producer Sean, what do you have?
Listen, if you have to change your skin tone for a costume.
Nope.
I think we know what we're talking about here.
Yep.
That's a no-go.
Absolutely not.
You can't do that.
No, you cannot.
You know, I feel bad for the people that were like children and now they have like a public job. Yeah. And this photo comes out, and their parents told them it was a great idea.
Yep.
Yes.
I mean, I loved Michael Jackson. I was probably Michael Jackson two or three times when I was younger. Can't remember whether or not I had makeup on. Don't want to find any photos when I did.
Right.
I mean, you didn't know, to tell you the truth. And I know that sounds incredibly insensitive, because it is.
Yes.
When you look back now, it makes sense.
Especially when you're a kid. You just don't really think of it.
When you're a kid, you don't think about it.
Well, that's a problem I have, too, with kid costumes. Like, there's all these costumes that you can buy online of like baby costumes of like you can make your kid a cigarette. Why are you going to make your 1-year old baby a cigarette? Like, why?
Right.
That's pretty terrible.
I mean, it's the tongue in cheek, like funny, it's so over the top thing, but at the same time, it's like, I mean, come on.
It crosses the line.
Right. And there's going to be a social media photo. It's going to happen, right? So that's going to come back and find you later on.
William wrote on our Facebook page, chaps with nothing underneath. Well, whenever people wear the like the overly inappropriate, makes you uncomfortable because you're basically naked costumes, that's definitely crossing the line.
But you know what? If it's handmade, or if it's like an outfit like that instead of versus like, you know, the sexy version of whatever that you bought just at the VIP store.
Yeah.
That I give you a little bit more credit. I mean, if you're wearing assless chaps, I mean, I give you credit. I mean, you've got guts.
Diana wrote crossing the line is Vladimir Putin costume.
I feel like that's going to be popular this year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be popular. And I think you're right. I think it's crossing the line.
I think Zelensky will be very popular,
well,
too.
That one seems like, because he's a hero. Because right? I feel like that one becomes
more. You were about
more
to say he's a hottie, too. You were about to say he's a cute hero.
He's a hot hero. I'll say it.
He did. You like blushed when I mentioned his name.
Hero.
I would like to see the guys that wear those shirts, you know?
It'll be in an olive green, tighter shirt. Right. He'll look like he's underground.
I'm not hating on that. All right, listen. 1-800-330-9999. What costumes this year definitely will cross the line? Top trending costumes this year, and it's disgusting, is Jeffrey Dahmer. And I don't understand why people want to be Jeffrey Dahmer. It's the worst.
I mean, the show is intoxicating. If you watch it, it definitely kind of grabs a hold of you. So I see why it's going to be out there. But I also see why some people would be deeply offended by it.
Because it crosses the line. And I think there's a lot of costumes this year that will cross the line. Which ones do you think they are? 1-800-330-9999. Corey.
I'm going to be really honest. Our doctor costumes right now are crossing the line because we need help out here. And if somebody's going to wear a costume, they need to come to work.
You show up as a doctor, they're like, great, you're on the midnight shift, let's go.
I don't think that we should just immediately put these people into service if they're actually somebody that bought a costume at Spirit.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying. If they're actually a nurse, you need them.
We can find work for them.
Okay. Yeah.
Kathy, what costumes cross the line?
I think when there's like a pregnant nun or something is, you know, disparaging religious beliefs, I think that really crosses the line.
Well, I will say I'm not a fan of the pregnant nun. I don't like that. I don't understand why they put. I also don't like the sexy nun. That doesn't make sense either.
Yeah. What about the pregnant priest? You like that one?
Well, I mean,
that's better. Feels more 2022.
I guess.
Ah, right. Man, let's make it an emoji.
I feel like that also crosses the line.
Oh, we're definitely going to get an email.
Gary, what costume crosses the line?
Oh, that's easy. Kanye West. Anyone portrayed as Kanye West is just crossing the line. They're way past the line.
I got to agree with you. And here's the sad part. It's all the personalities. Not one of them is acceptable for you to go as for Halloween. I you know what's the most acceptable Kanye costume to go for as Halloween?
Mm-hmm.
His therapist.
Aww.
That's really what you should be doing. And you can pair that and make it a group costume with his pharmacist and his manager and his publicist and then his ex-wife and all that.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. You should stay away from Kanye this year.
Yeah, do it. All you're right. A troublemaker if you're going as Kanye. You're looking for trouble.
Patty, what costume crosses the line?
Oh, gosh. Anything that is COVID-19 related, I just feel we're over it. That just crosses the line.
I get it. I mean, first off, I'm just bored with all the COVID stuff. I don't want to see it. The other thing is if I find it funny or make a joke or say something that crosses the line, then I got to worry about the fact that there's a very serious side to all of that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's safer to be Kanye.
No, I don't know.
I think it is.
I think it's 50-50 on that one.
I think you're right. You know, and it goes for any doctor or nurse outfits, I guess, this year, too.
No,
how tough?
You could be a regular doctor or a nurse. That's great. Those are heroes. But you just can't be like the COVID-19 variant. And you've got like, you know, you look like a molecule or something like that.
Yeah. Or the one that's burnt out, wants to quit and never go back. Can't have any of that. No.
Ricky, what costumes cross the line?
Some costumes that cross the line are things that shouldn't be sexy, but you're trying to make it sexy. Like someone tried to be SpongeBob. There's nothing sexy about over a dozen holes in one.
Yeah, I'll go with that. When you get like interspecies and you're doing the sexy version of it, it's weird.
It just doesn't make sense to me.
Mm.
You know, like you see all those, like the sexy Twinkie and the sexy ketchup bottle. Mm. And the I don't know. It's like, did I miss something?
Sexy Scooby-Doo.
Right. Like nobody thinks Scooby-Doo is sexy. And if you do, there's probably something wrong with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you wouldn't want to trumpet that information or put it out there.
No.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. David and okay. Hope. Hope, what happened?
Okay, so my boyfriend David planned this weekend getaway for us, and, you know, it didn't go as smoothly. I don't know what was going on with me, but I just wasn't having the time of my life. You know, looking back on it, I apologize. I was acting childish and immature, and I apologized to him. So we got back, and I found a receipt in his pocket, and it was for a ring. He wanted to propose to me on this trip. I'm calling you guys because I want him to propose to me. I want him to give me the ring.
Okay, David, what went down?
I mean, she hit the nail on the head, you know? Like, I mean, she was just very frustrated by the whole trip. Like, so just from the travel, right? And I get, like, travel's annoying, but, like, I mean, she was not having it at any point. Like, anytime somebody was, like, too close to her, or, you know, the food wasn't good enough, she was just very strung out. And I thought, cool, we'll get this over with. We'll get on the trip. We'll have a great time. I had planned, like, multiple outings. You know, I took care of everything. I made sure that, like, this would be perfect. And you know, she was just complaining the whole time. We got in multiple arguments during it, and it just wasn't the right time. I was like, you know, that was the plan. The plan was to propose. I felt like it was the perfect environment for it, but she just was not in the place to be proposed to.
Mm-hmm. So what now?
Yeah,
so,
what
I mean, are you going to ask her like this afternoon? I mean, obviously, I mean, if you guys been thinking about this, doing this together, or, you know, what's the plan?
Oh, hell no. First of all, you don't get to behave that way, and then you get my proposal, you know? Like, I mean, and secondly, I crafted this whole thing. This, like, I meant this to be a big deal. Like, it's a big deal to me. I only plan on doing this once. Mm-hmm. So this is not going to be, oh, you figured it out. The surprise is ruined, so here you go. Like, that's not how I'm getting engaged.
I kind of get it.
I mean, she's having a bad night. She had a bad week.
She had a bad weekend.
Yeah.
She had 3 days in a row, pal. That's a trip.
No, I get it.
It's not a bad night, one night.
Yeah, but now you're going to hold the ring over her head like hostage or something like that?
Now it's like a regular day. It's just a Wednesday.
Well,
I guess I got to propose to you.
I didn't want her snooping through my clothes either.
Mm.
You get to decide. Sure.
So I guess the question is, David, are you overreacting? And you know that Hope knows that the ring is here. Just give her the ring. You obviously love her. You want a future with her. So let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Hope. You know the ring is there. David, you know you're eventually going to give it to her. Give her the ring. Like, stop arguing about this. This is ridiculous. She had a bad weekend. But they may see your side too, David. You had a plan. It went sour. And now it'll be on your terms when you're ready.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
It's just a messed up situation. That's what it is. David and his girlfriend Hope had been dating for about 5 years. He had planned to propose to her, and they had a mini weekend getaway planned. And she was in a bad mood. She was in a bad mood the entire getaway. So much so that he didn't propose. So when they got home and she found the receipt for the ring, she was like, wait a minute. Where's my ring?
Yeah. And he was like, now you have to wait. It's not your ring yet at this point, right? All right, listen, man, again, special trip, right? I mean, big plans, excursions, private aircraft to get there, a boat. They went on a boat. Like, I mean, pick up on the clues. They're all around you. What's going on there, Sherlock?
Yeah, well, she says, listen, whatever happened, happened. I admit it. I wasn't in a good place, but... All right, we're back now, so let's just get engaged. Like, we don't need to do something like this all over again. Do you agree with her, or do you agree with David that, no, now you got to wait till it's my terms? 1-800-330-9999. Stephanie, whose side are you on?
I'm on his side. I think that she should wait until he has another chance to propose to her, because when you propose, it should be special, and you shouldn't have, like, a bad experience like she did over the weekend. I think she should wait until... he decides to propose to her again.
Yeah, I'll be remembering that bad experience if I was him. I would wait till the time was right again.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. It's Couples Court. David and Hope have been dating for 5 years. David had took Pope away on a mini vacation and had planned to propose, but she was in a bad mood the entire weekend they were away, and he didn't. When they got back, she found the receipt for the ring. He explained what happened, and she's like, okay, well, that stinks. I'm so sorry. I'll take the ring now, please.
He says, no, not this time. You've got to wait at this point. I mean, imagine you invest the time, you come up with the plan and the money too, and then you go away and that person is just a jerk for that entire time. You know, you're soured on it for a minute. You want to wait for the time to feel right again.
Who is being unreasonable here? 1-800-330-9999. Angelica, whose side are you on?
I am on his side. I am he wants to make it. He wants to make it a beautiful proposal. And her behaving that way, I mean, I understand everybody has bad times. But let him plan it again. Just give him the chance to make it special for both.
Mm-hmm. Don't be a brat. Right.
Get so impatient, though. It's like it was right there and you blew it.
Yeah, she blew it. Hey, Valerie, whose side are you on today?
I'm on his side. Just because she found out that he had intentions of proposing, it's still got to be from your heart and when you're ready. And even though she found the ring, if he really felt like he was ready to do it, he'd have done it. There was something holding back, and he's got to do it when he knows for sure. If something is holding him back, he's got to do it when he's ready.
I would also think, like, if she was in a bad mood, I could understand. Listen, I get it. I've been in bad moods when I've been away and, like, whatever. But at some point, you had to be like, listen, just look at me. I have to tell you something. And then get down on your knee and do it.
No, why is it got to be on him? If you go anywhere for a trip and you're on a private charter, you better expect that there's something special going on.
I mean, she could have been having a bad day. They've been together 5 years. You don't know your girlfriend 5 years who you're about to marry?
I think he does know her. That's why he didn't ask.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on David's side. I think he should wait until the moment is special. If this is someone they love, I think they need to actually work out the issue as to why she's angry in the first place or not feeling, because marriage is a big deal.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
David, the audience agreed with you today. I hope you got to wait until he's ready to give it to you and to ask you. I'm sorry. It sounds so outdated, but that's what they said.
I guess. I just feel like he's treating me like a child.
Well, next time we'll have to remember that when we're throwing a temper tantrum on the privately chartered boat or whatever wonderful thing that he figured out for you guys to do. Maybe next time we'll just have to breathe deeply.
David, you must be happy to hear that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, nope. I'm not surprised. I mean, come on, it's a proposal. It's big, and I'm going to do it on my terms.
Now she's got to, like, spend every weekend getting her nails done, just waiting. Like, oh, where are we going? Oh, is this going to be it? I don't know. I don't like that either.
You should use this as a time to talk about all those conversations Hope never wanted to have, David. All right? Take advantage of this time.
I'm gonna anytime we're out now, I'm just gonna bend over to tie my shoe a little more frequently, just to keep the excitement alive.
Right.
All right. If you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,100 thanks to Discover Card. We could talk about how complicated other banks make it to redeem credit card rewards, or we could talk about with how Discover, you can redeem your rewards for cash at any amount at any time. I mean, talk about amazing. Learn more at discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms apply. Hey, Michelle, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Would you like to win some money today?
I would.
All right. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Michelle.
All right, Michelle.
Thank you.
So he's walking out. When that door closes, he won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in. Ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Okay. A list of the most profitable James Bond films was released, with No Time to Die coming in at number 1. What actor portrayed James Bond in No Time to Die?
Daniel Craig.
Number 2, Dwayne The Rock Johnson said despite speculation he will not run for president in 2024. He's just more focused on being a parent than leading the country. He's currently playing what anti-hero in the DC universe?
Black Adam.
Number 3, the world's hottest bald man has been determined by how shiny his head is and the ratio of beauty. He's the actor that starred in Fast and the Furious and The Last Witch Hunter. Who is he?
Vin Diesel.
BuzzFeed, number 4, polled its fans to see which celebrities they like to see as president. Morgan Freeman, Tom Hanks, and this country star that wrote I Will Always Love You came in at number 1. Who is that?
Lee Greenwood.
And number 5, 41% of people believe black cats are actually good luck. What was the name of the black cat in Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Oh, my God. Twinkle.
Let me bring Raven back in.
Yep.
3 out of 5 for Michelle.
Not great. Let's see how I do. Not terrible. $1,100.
Number one, a list of the most profitable James Bond films was released.
Mm-hmm.
No Time to Die is number one. They made $668 million worldwide.
Makes sense.
What actor portrayed James Bond in No Time to Die?
It's Daniel Craig.
Yes.
The man.
Number two, Dwayne The Rock Johnson said that despite speculation, he will not run for president in 2024. He's more focused on being a parent than leading the country.
I mean, who wants that job anyways?
He's currently playing what anti-hero in the DC universe?
It's going to be Black Adam.
Yes. The world's hottest bald man has been determined by how shiny his head is and the ratio of beauty. He is the actor that starred in Fast and the Furious and The Last Witch Hunter. Who is he?
It's Vin Diesel. I think he stacked the ballots.
Number four, BuzzFeed polled its fans to see which celebrity they like to see as president. Morgan Freeman, Tom Hanks, and this country star that wrote I Will Always Love You came in at number one. Who is that?
That's Dolly Parton.
Yes. Okay, that's good. We're good. Number five, 41% of people believe black cats are actually good luck. What was the name of the black cat in Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
You just asked me this a couple weeks ago. Salem?
Salem is right.
Yes!
I didn't ask you that. I asked you the black cat in Hocus Pocus, which is Binks.
I mean, you have a spooky memory. I thought you asked me that just a couple weeks ago.
Those are the two of the most famous black cats in the history of black cats.
Okay.
All right.
Great. Yeah. Good for them.
I'm sorry, Michelle. He beat you 5-3. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
I'm Michelle, and I can't beat Raven.
Enjoy that shirt, girl. $1,200 tomorrow, Anna. Anna!
Okay. All right.
We'll always beat you.
So proud of yourself. I've made some questionable decisions as a parent in my life. But what producer Sean allowed his girlfriend's 7-year-old to do? Interesting.
You know, I it's true because you have confessed to me certain things that you have allowed your daughter and, you know, your niece and nephews and stuff like that to watch over time. And I've found some of those decisions to be questionable. But I got to be real with you there. Sean, this is worse. Oh, come on. It is worse. This is a bad decision that you made, man. A very, very bad decision.
Go ahead, Sean. Explain what has happened here.
So, me and my girlfriend, we've been wanting to watch the new Hellraiser movie on Amazon. Hulu, I'm sorry. We've been planning this for a month. We let Isaac know, hey, we're going to watch a really scary movie on this specific day when it comes out. It's not like we forced him to watch it. We just said you could go in your room and play, which he did. And not even 5 minutes into the movie, he came out with his tablet. He's like, I guess I'll just sit down and watch it. And we're like, are you sure? It's a scary movie. He's like, I don't mind. So, we're like, okay.
Isaac is 7.
He is 7.
Good.
I don't see what the big deal is. I think I watched my first horror movie when I was his age.
I mean, Hellraiser is a deeply disturbing film. Here's the trailer from the new one.
It's a puzzle.
So if I solve it, do I get a prize?
I do.
It opens up, and it cuts you, and then they come to collect.
And then the dude with the nails comes out, and the chattering teeth, and all that stuff, and it's terrible.
Good times.
You know, it's parents are so torn on this. And I'm one of those people that, like, I'm afraid of scary movies. As an adult, I don't watch scary movies. I know that it'll haunt my dreams. It'll mess me up. I won't be able to walk to my car in the mornings. I think there's somebody in the trunk. Like, all those things happen to me. So I know I avoid them at all costs. But I remember my uncle letting my cousins watch all these scary movies when they were so little. And it didn't seem to bother them.
Yeah, my dad took me to, like, Predator and Terminator and stuff like that when I was 7 or 8. That was one thing. I saw Hellraiser when I was, like, 15 with a group of my friends. And I still remember it. All right? It still bothers me.
So what did...
I'm over 40.
How did he react? How did Isaac react watching the movie?
For the most part, he had his tablet. And he was playing with it, but he'd keep doing that little kid thing where he'd peek over the tablet and watch it and then put it back up when it was a scary part. After halfway through, he just put the tablet down and started watching it. And he seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah, because every single moment of the movie is deeply disturbing at that point. Once you get past, like, the first interlude,
Pretty much. Everything
is terrible.
And what did he say after? Has he had any problems sleeping
or comments?
Nothing. He's in shock. Nothing. He didn't. No nightmares, nothing. He said after the movie, I believe he said that wasn't that scary.
Oh. That's what all kids say.
See, right. Yeah.
That's what the kids say. So like they try to be like brave. Like that wasn't scary, right. You know. But that's not true.
Meantime, he needs to like talk to a therapist. Right.
You know,
he needs to like paint this out or play out the movie with dolls or something so he can resolve this and be done with it.
Let's take a vote. 1-800-330-9999. Five calls says it all. Was producer Sean in the wrong for letting his girlfriend's 7-year-old son watch Hellraiser?
It has an open esophagus.
I don't know.
Spread by a mandolin slicer.
What do you think?
It's not right.
Five calls says it all. Producer Sean and his girlfriend allowed his girlfriend's 7-year-old son to watch Hellraiser with them. 7 years old watching Hellraiser.
Seemed like a good idea at the time. I mean, what?
Well, what do you think? 1-800-330-9999.
I honestly think it's a genetic thing, if that makes sense.
Genetic?
So you're blaming Sean's father. That's what you're doing?
Mom. It was my mom.
Okay.
But you know what? I'm a mom. I am scared to death of this stuff. Their dad loves it. And my kids are all fine with it. So I was upset when they watched it, but they're all fine.
They've all survived.
I mean, they say so. Yeah, they say they're fine on the inside. Right.
I would not have.
Andre, Five Call says it all. Was Sean wrong to let his 7-year-old girlfriend's son watch this movie?
I would have to say no, because I let my 9-year-old watch it.
Yes.
What?
Thank you, Andre.
And my 2-year-old sat there and watched the movie as well. So.
Good. Good.
Oh, yeah. Man.
No. First word's going to be that teeth chattering guy's name. Oh, man. So bad.
It wasn't that bad of a movie. I mean, it actually, graphic wise, was pretty crazy, but. The first Hellraiser had me more scared than this one.
I agree.
Well, I remember the first Hellraiser still to this day.
Robert, Five Calls says it all. Hellraiser for a 7-year-old.
I think 7 is too young, but I mean, they're exposed to so much these days, you just don't know what to think. But I don't think it's a good idea at all. I mean, you're going to be up all night with the nightmares they're having, and it's just going to ruin your night right there.
I mean, I'm pretty sure, Sean, the first time I saw Hellraiser, I was like 12 or 13. And it still haunts me.
I feel like I'm still too young to watch Hellraiser.
It's funny. I was around his age when I first watched Hellraiser. That was the first horror film I ever watched. I think I was 6.
And look at you.
Yeah, I turned out 5.
No. When you hit my age, you're going to reflect back on that and be like, maybe not. Maybe not.
Mike, Five Calls says it all. Hellraiser for a 7-year-old. What do you think?
Oh, I say hell no. But at the same time, I'm a generation that grew up on Chucky.
Mm. Yeah, you know, see, I guess Chucky to me, I just regard as so funny because it's a doll. But the truth is, I mean, there's some terrible, terrible stuff in those Chucky movies.
Of course there is.
I think I was actually more afraid of Chucky as a kid than I was when I watched Hellraiser.
But if you're 7 and you're watching Hellraiser, it's the same thing. You're still getting all those fears because you're watching it through a 7-year-old's eyes.
I don't know. I had dolls. I didn't have giant people with their flesh torn apart as dolls. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Solid point.
It's absolutely disgusting is what this is. I can't believe.
Dawn, Five Calls says it all. Hellraiser for a 7-year-old. What do you think?
Absolutely not. Why start traumatizing someone so young?
I'm sorry. I'm still thinking about the Chucky movie where she gives birth while in the grave. Oh, my God. I think I'm going to be sick. I think I'm done with this conversation.